Welcome to Ask the Tech Coach, brought to you by the TeacherCast Educational Network. If you are in charge of professional development and looking to build an innovative digital learning experience, this is the podcast for you. Join us each week as we uncover strategies that tech coaches are using to drive their digital transformations one classroom at a time. And now for your host, with over two decades of experience working with tech coaches and edtech companies from all around the world, Jeff Bradbury.
Hello, and welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury, and this is Ask the Tech Coach, a podcast for instructional coaches of all kinds. And today we're going to be talking all about relationships, the building blocks of any good coaching experience. We're going to talk a little bit about how do you build those relationships, how do you create those relationships, and most importantly, how do you sustain those relationships, not just with your teachers, not just with your students, but everybody on the faculty. Welcome back to our show. We've got a lot of great things. I hope you've had a chance over the last few weeks to head on over to teachercast.net. We have a ton of brand new content up, from our blogs to our podcasts. We've been putting a lot of our shows up on video, on YouTube. Many new things are over on teachercast.net. And if you're looking for some of our instructional coaching stuff, you can always head on over to askthetechcoach.com. All of our coaching stuff is now up on the site, and you can have a chance to download it, check it out, and of course, share it with all of your friends. We want to say thank you guys for those who have joined our Facebook group. We have more than 2,000 instructional coaches on there right now, sharing each and every week. Thank you guys so much for making TeacherCast your home for professional development. My guest today is Dr. Shannon McPherson, a highly trained teacher, chiropractor. She's got a lot of things on her background. I want to welcome today Shannon McPherson. How are you today? Welcome to the show, Shannon.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I am so fine. It is so great to meet you. You have got a wealth of experience in both education and a little bit on the medical practices and stuff like that. But you also just recently released your first book. Tell us all about yourself. Who is Dr. Shannon McPherson?
Well, I've been teaching for 26 years. I've taught in just about every science but physics at some point in time in my career. Over the last 4 years, I've been teaching focused in health science technology. So those are like the kids that are going into the health sciences, teaching anatomy and physiology and all the health science technology types of classes. Let's see, I started off as a chiropractor way back in the day in the 90s. And I spent most of my time actually volunteering at my now oldest child's elementary school. And I loved it. And I wanted to stay at the school. I didn't want to go back to my office. So I changed careers and haven't looked back. I've tried a few things throughout the years, but then I kept coming back. So, I have three kids, live outside of Houston, just wrote a book. I'm almost done with my second one. It's an amazing day to be alive.
Your book is called My Teachable Moments, Stories of a High School Science Teacher. We're going to make sure that we have links to everything from your website, docmcpherson.com, to your Amazon links. Talk to us a little bit about the journey of making your book. You said you just launched it. Congratulations on that. What can we learn after reading your book?
Well, you'll learn how much I love teaching, mm-hmm. And how much I love the classroom, and how important it is to share yourself and to be yourself with your students, to know who you are and to actually share that with your students. I have a ton of stories from the classroom throughout the years. Lots of references that some of my students, if they of years past, choose to read the book, they'll recognize some of the stories themselves. Also in the book, it started off as just a fun book to talk about the stories with my students. And it wound up turning into kind of a precautionary tale about teachers leaving the profession, which kind of surprised me when I was writing it. So yeah, it's about the stories. It's about collaboration, how safety is important for the students to, for them to feel safe in the classroom. How I've used mindfulness, different things in the classroom with mindfulness. I mean, I've taught 16 and 17 year olds how to meditate. Hello. How to be trustful, how to be very genuine, and why it's important, and not just from the teacher and the students, from their viewpoints, but also your colleagues, who your teacher friends that you work with, the peers that you share time with, as well as the administration. Give lots of examples of really good, positive thought, very healthy types of administrators versus the not so much that we all know that most of us have experienced throughout the years at one point in time, and how they affected me in the classroom and the students as well.
You know, you mentioned that part of your book is about experiencing relationships. And I think if you ask any coach out there, what is the number one thing that we can be looking for each day in the class, working towards, striving towards, it is that conversation with those teachers, building those relationships, which then will lead into, you know, classroom conversations, coworker situations, mentoring in the classrooms. Talk to us a little bit about some of the lessons that you've learned on building and creating those relationships with other teachers.
Oh, with other teachers, yes. I've learned throughout the years how important it is to have a strong collaborative team. Ugh, I'm tongue-tied, sorry. A strong collaborative team. And it doesn't necessarily have to be peers that teach the same classes. It's just you hold each other up and you help each other out and you're kind to each other and you work closely together with your techniques and just getting through each day, because teaching tends to be a little on the stressful side and we need each other. So some of the things that I've learned, a lot of my years, because of the types of classes I've taught, I've kind of been the only person maybe on my campus that teaches that particular class. I may be the only person in a district that teaches that class. So kind of a singleton. So when I have had the chance to be part of a larger group, I've really just jumped in, you know, feet first, sharing our workload, sharing our responsibilities, working together as a fine, as working together very closely to make sure that the students are successful, but also to bring us together.
I think many coaches are in that position too, right? They're the only coach in the building. Nobody is walking in their shoes. They don't necessarily have a classroom, but they're also in the principal's office or in the administrator's office a lot. And for many coaches, they're in multiple buildings. So you're the only one of yourself in multiple buildings. It is hard to make those relationships. It is hard to build that camaraderie with your coworkers. What advice do you have for anybody who's in that position? How did you become successful when you were the only science teacher or the only chemistry teacher? How did you make those relationships be successful throughout the years?
Well, I'd usually reach out. Social media, when it came out, was very helpful because you have your teacher groups on social media, so you're able to share material back and forth, share ideas. Now, from a coach standpoint, working with other teachers, I've had experience with different types of coaches where kind of run in and run out. Here's an idea, try this, and then run out of the room. Because of time, and I totally understand that. But I've also had experience with coaches that really took the extra step and said, here, I have an idea, let me help you implement it. Now, granted, where that one particular coach was, it was a much smaller school. And our school was the only school that she had to go to. But I know she spent a lot of time, extra time working with especially the newer teachers to really bring them in, you know, bring them into the fold and make them feel very welcome and part of the atmosphere of the school itself. In order to bring people together, you need to have that time together. And that needs to be brought about by on the district level. You need to have that time set aside for this. It's very important. I've been at four different school districts, four different schools. I've had to move around for different reasons. I got married, had to move to a different town, so I changed school districts. Moved back to the Houston area to take care of my 84-year-old mother. Had to change school districts. One particular school district really gave us that time. We had that time carved out. When we had our professional development, there was time carved out for us to actually work together as peers, to actually sit together and come up with a battle plan of how we were going to handle the school year, how we were going to support each other. I've been at other school districts that said, okay, you have 30 minutes to work together as a team. Then we have this, this, and this for you to do. So which one is better to forming relationships? Well, carving out that time and having it actually as part of your school day.
What was successful about it? I mean, when I hear you give that answer, is that a faculty meeting environment? Is that, happy hour after school and everyone's, let's go someplace for happy hour? Is that having a PD, for instance, everybody meets in the library, there's refreshments, and hey, you just have an hour to get to know each other? What are some of those environments that a school or a school district can set up so that way these things just happen naturally? And as you said, it's not, hey, the clock's ticking 30 minutes and you're done.
Right, right. They tell you have 30 minutes to work together as a team and you have a whole school year's worth of material to go over. It's not feasible.
Right.
But what I'm talking about is actually like during your professional development time and actually an hour or 2 hours to actually get to know each other and work together. Now, with specific goals in mind, of course, but you also have that time to work together. Not talking about happy hour. I'm talking about during your contract hours during the day. That where it's actually carved into the time during the day. You can't expect people to meet after hours to do their job. I think that's unacceptable, but it's expected, unfortunately, in our profession.
That was one of the questions that I asked when I walked into my current position is, what's the faculty environment? Do they get together? Do they hang out together? Or, when it comes time to your prep, is everybody in their own little rooms by themselves? What is that school environment? And I find that the majority of the time, teachers are doing one thing on PD days. Mm-hmm. Coaches are doing something else, whether they be, this is a place for all the coaches to go, or the coaches are in those leadership teacher roles. And there isn't a lot of opportunities for coaches to be in the PD sessions with the teachers hand in hand, testing out that coaching role. I mean, I think of some school districts actually have a PD session where part of the PD was, and the coach is going to work with you. I think that would then help translate into classroom experiences and give the I don't say mentoring, but that coaching teacher role would certainly be strengthened up a little bit.
Yeah, an example would be I had a partner in crime. We taught biology at the same time. And this was kind of in the days before instructional coaches were hip. But we did have somebody on campus who kind of played that role. And the three of us came up with a battle plan for a professional development for the middle school teachers to come in. This was, they needed to know how we taught things and then how they could integrate that at the middle school. So when they got up to the high school, they would, it'd all be vertically aligned. And we came up with a wonderful activity, hands-on, moving around, an activity that the teachers could actually go back to their classrooms and use. That's what coaches can help with. Actually helping the teachers put that together. If there's time, I mean, I understand you may have one coach for five schools. You don't physically have time to do that. But if you do, and if that could be somehow brought into the expectations of professional development with the teachers and with the coaches, that would be amazing.
And that's always difficult, right? And again, going back to my days when I was a coach in multiple buildings, not only do you have to wear different hats, But in different schools, those hats have different shapes, right? You know, one school wants you to be proactive, another school wants you to be reactive. Those are completely different personalities that you have to be depending on the building that you're in, especially if you're in two buildings in one day. You're constantly flipping yourself and putting your personality and juggling all of that each of these environments expects from you and doesn't expect from you. That's not always easy, especially when a district is controlling all of that and you don't have a lot of say in your day.
Mm-hmm. So that's where your collaborative teams as peers come into play, because you can coach each other. You can work together in order to help benefit the coach. So when the coach does have the time to come in, you're ready to go. You're ready to play. You've got the ball and you're ready to throw it. I don't know. I don't play sports. Does that make sense? So you can work. So you have something to work together, a plan of action, instead of something that's kind of, you know, fairly useless. And that sounds terrible, but a lot of the things that I've come across in the past, in my world anyway, has been something that I can't use, but it was time consuming to try to figure out. Whereas if you have your collaborative team, you have your peers working together, you have that time to be able to do these things during the day. I mean, you can take it out after hours if you want to have that personal one-on-one time with your friends. But during the school day is when this time needs to happen.
Let's switch from the coaching teacher relationship to the coaching administrator relationship, because this really is a professional relationship that's just different, right? You have administrators that you answer to, you have administrators that you work with, and of course, you're not necessarily in that world. Mm-hmm. I believe that coaches should have professional development time with administrators. Mm-hmm. So that way, a coach can learn how an administrator talks, thinks, makes decisions. And we've had this conversation on this podcast before about, you know, the way that you talk to a teacher is through standards and creativity and pedagogy and stuff like that. But the way you talk to an administrator is through data and numbers and showing your value and, you know, cause and effect of different programs and stuff like that. Do you have any recommendations for coaches on how do you start to build positive, what's the right word? Collegial relationships with administrators. Sometimes it's scary because you're the coach and they're a principal, capital P, but really we're all on the same team here. How do you start to create those relationships? So it's not Mr. Smith or Dr. Smith. It's, you know, it's Bob. How you doing? Like, I happen to be the coach. You happen to be the principal. We're all on the same team. What advice do you have for coaches to kind of start breaking down those walls and have more personal relationships with your superiors, if that's even possible?
You know, I have not personally been a coach, but I could imagine it would be very similar to any type of business environment. Walk in, shake hands. Yeah. And say, this is what I think we need. Let's schedule it. Let's make this happen. Let's see if we can do this. Let's see if we can make some, you know, let's see if we can find some time to work together to make sure we're on the same page. If you don't bring it out and you don't actually express that, they can't read your mind. I mean, that's kind of what my thought is on it. You have to verbalize it and make the request. Now, administration, depending upon their personalities, may say no. just give me the data and do your thing. Or, you know, they could be, yes, my name is Bob. Come on in. You know, I've taught at different schools where the personalities are very different. One was like, call me by my first name. Nobody has a last name here. Everybody's first name, except with the kids, of course. Right. And I've taught at other ones where you have to call them Dr. So-and-so, where they will not recognize your presence. So even though I'm one of them too, but I mean, you have to verbalize the need and work that time out in order to get to know each other, to know what's expected and have an agenda, just like any other meeting, have an agenda of what you need to discuss so that that time is used productively.
I think that's a great piece of advice right there that goes overlooked a lot, right? When you are sitting down at those meetings, whether it be a formal meeting, a casual meeting, there should always be a few, you know, we're going to hit these points and thanks. Your time is valuable. The administrator's time is valuable. There should always be that, you know, here's what's going on. What do you need? How can we get there? Thanks. How you doing? And to make sure that things are being able to run smooth. Being a former administrator, you don't have the time always for small talk. Let's talk about where we are. Let's put a plan of action. How's everything going? Thanks. See you later. Move. And for coaches, that sometimes is intimidating, right? Because you are in the big office or you are sitting at the table versus sitting in a classroom. Like it's a different environment that you're walking into. And I think for a lot of coaches, it's just a matter of sitting back and relaxing and just kind of breathing a little bit when you get into those environments. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody's moving forward at the same speed. Everybody's here for the students. It is all just about making sure that those relationships are as strong as possible.
It's definitely a mindset. You have to realize that you're, as you said, all on the same team.
It's
a mindset.
And for some coaches who are newer in their career, that's more intimidating than if you're in, you know, the later part of your careers. It's intimidating if your upper is, you know, a certain age, depending on where you are with things. So it's just one of those things I think everybody has to get comfortable with. I know even for myself, starting in a new position, you know, I'm still kind of feeling people out and seeing where we are and, you know, do I talk to this person at this level and talk to that person at that level? And, you know, it takes a while for people to get to know each other and it takes a while for people to get comfortable building out those relationships. But I think the time that coaches put into building those relationships is important. And with a coach, you're building a relationship with every single teacher and all 30 of their students or 100 and something of their students and every single administrator. But I think some of the things that we're talking about today, you know, having that plan, making sure that everything is on top of each other, making sure that we're able to move forward. These are all good strategies to have. When we are having those meetings, do you have any suggestions for, you know, organizing your thoughts or keeping notes on conversations? You know, you certainly don't want to walk into your principal's office and take a note down on every single word, but look, you're working with 200 people every day sometimes. You can't remember everything. So what's your thoughts on organization and kind of keep track of it all?
I'm kind of an old school gal. I like some paper and pens, but that's hard to do when you have a lot of people. So, you know, you need to have some way of keeping track of that. So, you know, you have your computer, you have your notebook. Obviously, everybody's different how they organize themselves. My suggestion is you need to definitely keep notes, however that works for you. I was a secretary before I went to college. So yeah, there are different techniques of how to sit down and take down notes that work for you and nobody else, or you can sit there and just type them out. Definitely an agenda of what you're going to be meeting, what the purpose is with meeting whom you are meeting with. That way you can keep track of it on that agenda. You know, dated and timestamped, I suppose. I'm not sure if that's a good answer or not, but that's how I would handle that. But I definitely want to get back to one thing we talked about a minute ago is you need to ask for the time. You need to request this time. You can't assume that administrators overworked and over busy are going to remember to try to schedule this time with you. So you're going to need to ask for that time. And then have that time organized with an agenda, even if it's just 5 or 6 bullet points, and then keeping the notes on that and having follow up afterwards, obviously having a time frame. Hey, I'll meet back with you in 2 weeks. Does that work? Good. That works. 2 weeks. And then you can bring the notes back and say, hey, did this happen or did this not happen? Or 2 weeks might be too soon, might be 6 months. But definitely you have to ask for that time. Our administrators are just not going to remember. They're not going to have the time to get with you.
And I think that's also a great idea. You know, I have a little email template that says, you know, hey, Shannon, do you have time over the next couple of days? Here are the three things that are on my mind. Do you have a moment? And so at least that way, when you walk into their office, they're focused on what it is. And you're not just blindsiding them with, oh, here's a topic or here's a thing or here's an issue. Everybody's on that same page and we can all take a deep breath together and have a good conversation.
That's exactly right. That's what I appreciate. I mean, I have 170 students, I believe, this year. I don't know. I lost track. 170 students this year. And, you know, my thing is you email me. That way I can keep track. That helps a lot. Tell the students to email me if they have questions about things they didn't get to me in class. Don't stop me in the middle of the hallway when I'm finally making it to the bathroom today. Email me, you know. And that way, when you have that, the administrators know that you are dependable and you're organized. And that is developing a very important professional relationship with them.
One of the things that's always helped me out being digital is, much like a piece of paper, I always have a system that I have my short-term memory and my long-term memory. And for me, as an example, if I see you in the hallway or if I come into your office, I use a note taking application like Apple Notes or, you know, something smaller. Google Keep is a good example where I can just take my quick bullet points, get things down on paper or digital paper. But then when I do go back, I somehow try to transfer that onto my long-term memory, which could be a Notion spreadsheet, a Google Doc, an Evernote, whatever my long-term filing system is. And I usually then end up doing that in more detail. You know, I take my three or four bullet points and I write an outline of what it is. And from there is when I always put my email together. You know, hey, Shannon, thank you for your time. We discussed A, B, and C. Here's the action items. You know, is next Thursday still good for you? I'll send you a calendar invite. Just something that's a little professional, keeps everybody in, has all the key terms in case they ever need to check things on an email or in a doc or something. And depending on the subject, I'll even share the doc with them and go like, here's what I'm thinking. Here's all the links to the work that I'm doing. And for me, at least, it keeps me organized and it keeps me honest and it keeps me on top of things. But I would do the same thing for teachers too. You know, hey, Shannon, thanks for your time today. Here's some of the lessons that we went over. Here's a link to a lesson plan. If you want, I'm happy to come out and do something with your kids. Here's a link to some ideas. And that way everybody kind of knows that, you know, we're all on the same page and we're all looking, you know, moving forward at the same speed here.
And as a teacher, I would definitely appreciate that. Except, you know, so you don't have to try to remember every single little thing because that's the follow-up after the meetings. You're asking about forming relationships with the administrators of the school. That's definitely one way to do it, you know, to show you're organized, you're cognizant of the time that's involved, and that you have follow through. That means that you're dependable and they can trust you. And that's huge.
And that's a great way to continue that process of building relationships.
Exactly. And then, you know, you might get more friendly or you may not, you know, nobody knows.
When you write those, from my background, I always make sure that I'm addressing them formally, right? Dear Dr. Smith, thank you for your time. You're not going to write, hey, Bob, right? Because that's a formal communication. Even if it's call me Bob, that's still a formal communication. It's like basically putting your record together. Like, this is what we had our meeting about. This is, you know, we're putting this in writing. Here's my action items. Let's pivot briefly here. Building relationships with your student population is always a touchy subject with coaches, right? It takes us a long time to get into 30, 40, 50 teachers. Very often we do find a couple classes where a teacher is just asking us to come in, right? Like, can you come in every single Wednesday and work with these kids, work with these kids, work with these kids? You do start to build relationships with students. And I love it when I'm a coach and I walk down the hallway and the kids see me or they fist bump me or they say hi or they get to know you. Like, you don't have 30 kids. You now have the entire school is your kids, are your kids. What advice do you have for anybody that's working in those relationships or working in those, you know, school environments that you do have those relationships with their students? How do you foster good relationships with your kids?
from a coaching standpoint or from a teacher standpoint? I guess I need clarification on the question.
You can talk about from a coaching point of view, but also, you know, a coach is a teacher's teacher. So, you know, people that are in the room, the student doesn't always know that it's a coach and this is the role of the coach. They just see it sometimes as another person's in the room helping us out, right? So student, you're just another teacher sometimes.
So, I mean, obviously you're in there helping. So you have their... You have them up on a pedestal because you're trying to help them out. So, you know, just same thing as the teachers would do, even though you're not in there with them every day. You're trustworthy. If they're coming up to you and they're giving you a fist bump, they trust that you're going to help them. You're looking at their future with them, even though they may not realize that you're doing that. They may see you helping with a math problem or helping with an activity in class, but it's actually looking forward to their future, working with them so that they can model themselves. And they show that you're genuine, and that you're a safe person to be around. What kind of advice? Keep doing it if you can, you know, because obviously you were a teacher at one point in time on a regular basis. You probably miss it, I would imagine. I just remember during COVID, it went back in the fall of 2020, and one of our career and technology classes, all the senior level classes, the students were required to come back to school. And of course, they're all masked up, all separated the 6 feet. You know, the rest of the school is almost all virtual. There's only a few students in the classroom, if there's any at all, and you're talking to a screen. It was pretty traumatic, but it was so funny. There was one time there was my colleague down the hallway. She had her entire class there because it was required by the state because of the type of class it was. And the principals looked at one of the principals peeked in the door and started waving at the other principals to come. And it was like they walked around this classroom like, oh, students. Oh, my God, there's students here. It was hilarious. So that needing to have that relationship with students comes in all forms. So as a coach, I could understand you would just need to keep doing that if you could in order to continue to fostering those relationships with those students. So you're not just working just with the teachers. If you could work with the students as well. That's what I would do. I would try to continue doing that so I could continue having those types of relationships if that's possible in your schedule.
And I'm glad that you ended it that way, right? If it's time in your schedule, right? Many coaches have one building and that's they get to know that building. Some coaches have 4 and 5 buildings and you are just there to help out. However your coaching position is set up, there are ways to be successful in it. There are ways to build those relationships. And if not, that is something that I think coaches should be working with their administrators on. You know, hey, I'm not getting the time that I need. Or, you know, a teacher just sees me come in for 5 seconds and thanks, see you later. I'm not finding the opportunities. Work with your team. Build a team if needed. Find a core group of teachers and start to build there. Those first followers, if you will. It's always important that in order to have a successful coaching program, you need to build successful relationships. The book
that makes sense. And if the coach doesn't have the time, the teachers need to take that. And that needs to be built into their schedule to be able to have that time to build that. Because you can't, if a coach, that's not realistic. It's not sustainable to have one coach going to 5 or 6 different schools and having those types of expectations of you guys. That's very difficult. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I love the conversation. If anybody out there is listening, wants to be a part of this conversation, please feel free to reach out feedback@teachercast.net. You can of course go on over to askthetechcoach.com. At the bottom of all of my pages, I'm putting our contact forms. You can always reach out. You can always invite yourself on the show. We would love to have you and continue these conversations. The book is called My Teachable Moments, Stories of a High School Science Teacher. Shannon, I would not want to end this conversation with asking you, of all the teachable moments you've had, what is on the top of your list? Give us a teachable moment that really will just knock us out and makes you, you know, love being in education, love being a teacher.
Well, humor is a huge thing in my classroom. Everybody's always laughing all the time. So I have lots of fun ones. I've got one story that is in the book about this wonderful student I had and how he got his finger stuck into a counter. His finger stuck in the counter and the whole class saying they're going to have to cut your finger off. They're going to have to call the fire department. They're going to have to get the jaws of life. And this whole thing that happened after the fact with had to go to the nurse's office and the nurse called his mom and mom was having her nails done and all his aunts were there at the nail salon and it was on speakerphone and the hooting and the hawing and the laughing from the parents and the aunts and his whole demeanor after that was almost funnier than the entire episode itself because he knew how funny that was. He didn't do it intentionally, but he had just such a huge smile on his face. Like, this was funny. This could have been bad. And we're glad it wasn't bad, but this was funny. I have so many stories like that. So I have to say that's probably one of the most memorable ones because it was pretty darn funny.
Well, we will make sure that we link to your book over on Amazon. Of course, it's available at Amazon. You can buy it on Kindle. Closing thoughts on this one, Dr. McPherson. As we're looking through, it is the end of the year. Coaches have the ability to end the year strong and start the year anew. If you were looking at the end of the year here, we got one more marking period to go. Some coaches haven't yet made relationships with, that one teacher. Maybe there's a teacher in the building that's always been reluctant to open their doors to coaching. What advice do you give to a coach to maybe make that first move on a teacher who so far has not been able to see the value of a coach in their room?
Well, we all have collaborative teams. We all have teams that we're supposed to be working with. Meet with the entire team instead of just one-on-one. Meet with the whole team. Find out what they need for the rest of the year. Find out what would be helpful to start the year. This is the time of year when you realize what you need at the beginning of next year. And that's what needs to be expressed. Don't make it a gripe session. Have it be a productive, yes, good. This is what we need to have for the rest of the year. But let's put together what we need to start the next year strong. So start building the foundation for what you're going to have the following school year. That would be the most helpful right now.
If you have any questions that you'd like to reach out to Dr. McPherson, where can we get a hold of you? Shannon, what's your website address?
It is www.docmcpherson.com. The students have been calling me Doc for the last 15 years, and that's just kind of what I go by. So it's docmcpherson.com.
And of course, again, we're going to have links to this and all of this stuff over on our show notes page. Check it out over at askthetechcoach.com. We would love to have you guys join this show and also be a part of our TeacherCast Instructional Coaches Network. So on behalf of Shannon and everybody here in the TeacherCast Educational Network, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to Ask the Tech Coach, hosted by Jeff Bradbury of the TeacherCast Educational Network. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at Ask the Tech Coach or online at www.askthetechcoach.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.